Thank you so much. So this is, you know, my inaugural public address on the other side of the bridge, and it's both very nice to have met this morning many members of the Frisch community, as well as to see members of the SAR community in attendance. So I feel welcomed on both ends. So how did I come upon this topic? I was invited. Every school was asked to send someone to speak, but Senior asked me to speak on behalf of Frisch. I was sent, Rabbi Tarragon sent us a Google Doc, a spreadsheet of all the different topics that people had chosen to speak about or were potentially going to speak about. And when I opened up the Google Doc and looked at it, it was striking to me. Topic after topic, my son and his relationship with his Rebbe, my son and his commitment to Talmud Torah, the Rebbe and the Torah learning and the son, and the Rebbe and the Torah learning and the son. And there wasn't one topic that was concerned with our daughters and their religious development. Now, as it happens, the final program, as it has shaken out, is a little bit less son, Rebbe, Talmud Torah heavy. But that initial lineup of topics, those proposed topics, were really very striking to me. And I thought that we as a community could well stand to do some thinking, not only about my son, his relationship to his Rebbe, and his commitment to Talmud Torah, but my daughter and her taking herself seriously as an Oved Hashem. So that was how this topic came to be. As you heard from the introduction, my professional expertise to speak about this is exactly zero. My training is in the history of science, but I have spent many, many years working with high school kids. As I told the Sperbers before we started, now that my first child is finally about to enter high school in the fall, I now know that I know nothing at all about high school kids. Or maybe I know something about teaching high school kids, I just don't know anything about parenting high school kids. But for the purposes of our talk today, I will assume that the latter is the case, and I do know something about teaching high school kids, even though I clearly don't know anything about parenting one. Okay. We have a very hard time with this question. And the reason we have a very hard time with this question is because we are doing the modern Orthodox balancing act. Okay? In the more liberal denominations, they say, halachas treating men and women differently is untenable in the modern world. It cannot be anymore, and so we will have egalitarian minyanim, and we will count women in the minyan, and we will have women as rabbis, and we have solved that problem. In the Haredi world in which I was raised, it is also an easy question for the opposite reason. Feminism is treif. Ideas about men and women that come in from the secular world are foreign and alien and should be rejected. We continue to embrace the idea of separate spheres, hinehi ba'ohel, from women's primary, obligation is mothers raising families and maintaining themselves as snuot, and we don't have to kind of navigate this question. And here we are in the middle, and indeed, we think that the increased participation of 50% of the Jewish people in Judaism is a very good thing. We think that the increased Torah learning on the part of 50% of the Jewish people is a very good thing. But at the same time, we are constrained by halacha, and women don't count in a minyan, right? So our daughters can go to Stern, they can go to Barnard, for that matter, they can go to Columbia, they can go to Rutgers. See, I'm learning how to, I can't say they can go to Queens College anymore, now I have to say they can go to Rutgers. They can become doctors, they can become lawyers, they can get PhDs, but they still aren't going to count for a minyan. And depending on which shul they daven in, they may or may not be able to serve as shul president, and they may or may not be able to dance with the Sefer Torah and Simchas Torah, right? And so we're very uncomfortable with this, and we don't quite know what to do with ourselves with this. And one of the reasons I think we don't take on this question is because it's a hard question that doesn't have an easy answer. So we just choose not to talk about it so much. That's not really going to work so well. That's one reason I think we don't necessarily take this question on. I think, frankly, another reason we don't take this question on is because there are ways that living in the more traditional gender roles that have been the norm in the Orthodox world are convenient or easy. There is a way in which it's very easy that my husband can go off to shul and daven whenever he wants to, and then he can come home and know that the table is going to be set and ready for a Shabbos meal without having to navigate which minyan he's going to and which minyan I'm going to and how we're juggling the kids in the middle, and for that matter, who's taking responsibility of getting ready for the meal. It's easier if we have these very clearly defined roles, even if the very clearly defined role is he's the one who goes to shul and daven and I'm the one who doesn't. So I think another reason we don't take it on is because there is something, for all that we can see that it's retrograde, there's something that's convenient about having those rules. And quite frankly, I think there are plenty of women who don't mind not being expected to get out of bed on Shabbos morning and go to shul. Let's be honest about that, right? Our teenage daughters may not mind not being pushed to get up and go out to shul the way their brothers are being pushed to get up and go out to shul. We may not mind that. We women may not mind that for ourselves. And so there are ways in which the traditional gender roles, however we can critique them and see them as problematic, are also very convenient. So I think that's another reason sometimes why we don't take on this issue or take on this question. And a third reason, I think, is because we aren't totally clear ourselves about what our message is. We know what our message is for our sons. Again, it's the message of the spreadsheet. It's the message that the Israeli yeshivot are trying to inculcate. It's more Talmud Torah and more Torah learning. What exactly is our message for our daughters? So again, in the Haredi world, that's very clear. Our message for our daughters is, right, Jewish wife and mother. And our message for our daughters is that, in the right-wing world, that Tzinus is to men, what Talmud Torah is to men. That is your core obligation as a from woman. I have to tell you, for reasons that are far beyond the scope of this talk, my daughters attend a Beis Yaakov high school, elementary school. My daughters attend a Beis Yaakov school in Manhattan. And my sixth grader came home one day in the middle of this year, just a flutter. They had brought someone in to talk to them about essentially being nice to each other, communication and talking and how you deal with it when you have a disagreement, which is the kind of thing that sixth grade girls can use plenty of, so that was a good thing for the school to do. But then the woman who came in to talk to them about these things, these communication and navigating disagreements and working out your issues with other people skills, said to them, this is going to be very useful when you get married. It's going to be very good for shalom bias. And my sixth grader thought that was hysterical. Why on earth is someone coming to talk to a bunch of 12-year-old girls about shalom bias and getting married? Now, she's growing up in my house, so, you know, but within the right-wing world, there's a lot that makes perfect sense about orienting every conversation you have about shalom bias and getting married, because frankly, that is not just your goal for your daughters, but that's not all that ridiculously far away when they're 12 years old, because by the time they're 19, plenty of them are going to be married. So it might even make sense to talk about this. My daughter found it hysterically funny. But if that's not our goal, that's not the message we're trying to give. We're not quite sure what the message is that we're trying to give, right? If our message is not tznius is the most important thing for a woman, but it's probably not quite either. You should sit and learn as much Torah as you can, right? So what are we telling our daughters? And so I think because we're a little not totally clear on what the message is, we don't communicate any particular message at all sometimes. And I also think sometimes we send our daughters off to institutions in Israel whose message might be different than the message that we want to give them. But in the absence of our having given them a clear message, that's the message that they pick up. So I want to start actually from point number three, which is to say what's the message we want to give them, and then to work backwards to talk about how we might potentially take this on. So there's actually a very clear answer to number three, and it's not even given by a modern or recent commentator. Rabbi Yitzchak Arama, the author of Yakedat Yitzchak, was a Sfaradi Parshan. He wrote a Parashan Chumash. He lived in Spain in the 15th century. He actually was expelled as part of Gerush Sfarad in 1492, and he dies just a couple of years later in 1494. And the Yakedat Yitzchak, when he writes on Parshat Bereshit, on the creation of woman, notes that woman is created, is named twice. She's named twice. The first time she's named, she's called Isha, Hime Ishu Kachazot. And the second time she's named Chava Eim Kol Chai. So the first time she's named as woman because she was taken from man. And the second time she's named Chava, the mother of all life. And Rabbi Yitzchak Aram, the Akedat Yitzchak, says that what this teaches us is that woman's primary role in the world is, parallel to man's, to be an Ovedet Hashem and to keep mitzvot, the same way that man was put in the world to do God's will and carry out God's will and do what God wanted in the world. Woman's primary role is to do God's will, carry out God's will, and do what God wants in the world. And her secondary role, her second naming, her second title, her second job, is the job of Eim Kol Chai. But that is her secondary role. And her primary role is, parallel to man, to be an Ovedet Hashem and a carrier out of God's will in the world. And so, in fact, I think we have a very clear message to say to our daughters. And our message that we say to our daughters is, whether or not you are obligated in certain mitzvot asay, nevertheless, your primary role in the world, as is the role of your brothers, as is the role of men, is to be an Ovedet Hashem and to carry out God's will in the world to the best of your ability. And that's not an ambiguous or unclear or difficult message. And then we can enter into, as we have to enter into, if we are modern Orthodox Jews of integrity and seriousness, into wrestling with the difficult question that everybody's wrestling with, which is, how do we navigate an egalitarian modern world and a Torah world that recognizes distinct sets of obligations, responsibilities, and roles for men and women? And that's a tough question. I don't pretend we have an easy answer. I'm not going to try to answer it now. But that doesn't preclude our saying to our daughters very clearly that your primary responsibility is to be Shomrot Torah Mitzvot and Avdot Hashem, just as men's primary responsibility is to be Shomrot Torah Mitzvot and Avdot Hashem. Okay, great. So our message is clear. So we solved problem number three, which is we don't talk about this because we don't have a clear message. Great, we got a clear message. So now, this talk was billed as how to do this. And I actually have three very concrete, specific, and real-world strategies for how to do this. And we're going to get through all of this in the next, what do I have here? 18 minutes, right? We're going to get through all of this in the next 18 minutes. So this is not just up in the air, pie in the sky. We should somehow communicate to our daughters they should take themselves seriously as Avdot Hashem. I really think that there are very concrete and practical ways we can do this. So you all know that in his introduction to the Mesilat Yesharim, Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzato says, I don't come to tell you anything new, right? He says in the introduction to the Mesilat Yesharim, the famous ethical work, the work of Musar, I'm not going to tell you anything you don't know. And nevertheless, it behooves all of us to review it, says the Ramchal, so let me write Mesilat Yesharim. I am not going to tell you anything you don't know. There is nothing I'm going to say now about what you are going to say, oh my gosh, I never thought of that. But I think that there are certain things that we collectively have to commit ourselves to in order to move us as a community from a place where we confidently can discuss getting my son to build his relationship with his Rebbe and getting my son to learn more Torah, but we're silent on the question of our daughters because we don't know what to say. So, three ideas, none of which is new. Number one. We, as individuals and as a community, need to treat girls' and women's participation as though it matters whether or not they count for a minyan. By which I mean, there is no reason, I will go so far as to say there is no excuse in any collective or communal setting for a tefillah ever to take place that there is not a mechitza and there is not a provision for women to daven. To do otherwise is to say to women, we don't expect or desire your participation. And don't say to me, but we started mincha and no women were there, so we didn't set up a mechitza. Because if a woman is thinking of walking into mincha 30 seconds late, and there's no place for her to go and no place for her to daven, what are the odds she's going to walk in if that means everybody has to start to scramble and set up a mechitza? So if it's me, I have a big mouth and I'm not shy and I'll walk in. But if it's a high school girl, what are the odds she's going to walk into a davening situation if her walking in is going to make everybody now scramble to set up a mechitza? The odds are really not very good. Okay? I once heard a shul rabbi, and I will tell you in all confidence because it's not like this is being recorded or anything. The shul rabbi was my husband, speaking in Mount Sinai Jewish Center, say something about, and you know, the reason why Jews wear tzitzis. And I said to him afterwards, no, sorry, you can't say that. Jews don't wear tzitzis. Jewish men wear tzitzis. We cannot talk as a community as though the only Jews are Jewish men. We can't. We can't. We can no longer talk as a community as though 50% of the Jewish people does tzitzis. You want to give a sermon about why Jewish men wear tzitzis? Kol HaKavod, give a sermon about why Jewish men wear tzitzis. Talk about the importance of tzitzis. You cannot say Jews wear tzitzis. We have to acknowledge that 50% of the Jewish people, as firm as they are not putting on tzitzis every day, and we have to talk in a way that our entire community acknowledges the existence of the 50% of Jewish people on the other side of the pizza, of the 50% of Jewish people who don't wear tzitzis. So that's a statement to the community, and by the community I largely mean to the men who are running the show, whether they're the rabbis who are speaking from the pulpit or the men who are arranging the mechitza for the minyan. But this also comes down into our families in a very specific domestic kind of way. Whom are we waking up for shul on Shabbos morning? If we are waking up our sons for shul on Shabbos morning and we are not waking up our teenage daughters, we are sending a message as to whose participation matters. And I would like to very strongly say that we are going to be Orthodox Jews, so women aren't going to count for a minyan, and that can't mean that it doesn't matter if our daughters go to shul on Shabbos morning or they sleep till 1 o'clock. That just can't mean that. Okay, you don't count for a minyan, you have to go to shul. I don't know what one has to do with the other. Whom are we reminded to daven mincha on Shabbos afternoon? Whom are we waking up to daven on Sunday morning? In all of those choices, we are making statements to our kids about whose participation in the enterprise of the Jewish community we value. And I will tell you something about teenagers that if you are the parent of one, you already know. But I told you, I'm not coming to tell you anything you don't know. Okay? The cardinal sin to teenagers is hypocrisy. They have antennae for that that go off as soon as they sense something that sounds like you're not doing what you say you're doing, you're not following through on your stated values. You can tell your kids till you're blue in the face that everybody's participation in the frum community matters, and when you wake your son up to daven on Shabbos morning and you let your daughter sleep late, you are making a statement to your children. Okay? And they are very sensitive to that. Those antennae are going. They got that. So what I say is irrelevant. It's a question of what I do. So that's number one. So that's Eitzah number one. Eitzah number one is directed largely, well, not entirely, at men. Again, at the men who are arranging the minyanim and setting up the mechitza, and the men who are speaking from the pulpit about Jews and Jews wearing tzitzis. But how about number two, which is directed at the women? Because I can tell my teenage daughter, again, as much as I want, about the importance of everybody participating in the Jewish community, does she ever see me daven? Does she see me go to shul? Does she see me act like I take myself seriously as a halachic personality? Whatever that means. Whether it means learning Torah, whether it means asking questions about halacha when I'm not sure, whether it means making myself crazy for the torture that is 49 days of sphira to be reminded to count every night and then second-guessing myself every morning because I too am going to try to make it through, I made it this year, try to make it through 49 days of sphira without missing a day. Whatever it might be, do our daughters see us, their mothers, us, the women in their lives, modeling meaningful engagement with the enterprise that is Judaism? And again, we have to be honest about the fact that it's not just, part of it might be, you know, I'm really not comfortable with the separate gender roles of the Orthodox world, but let's be honest about it. Part of it is also, I don't really need the burden of schlepping out of the house on Shabbos morning or waking up for school or whatever it is. I'm perfectly happy not to have that responsibility. But then when we tell our daughters, it's really important that you go to shul on Shabbos morning and I'll come along when I come along, they've gotten the message much more clearly, the message from our unstated expectations much more clearly than from any of our stated expectations. So I have to tell you a story now that touches both on points one and point two. A few years ago, I went to something called the North American Jewish Day Schools Conference, which is exactly what it sounds like. The North American Jewish Day Schools Conference is made up of four groups. There's the group that comes through YU's University School Partnership. There's the group that comes through Rav Sach, which is a network of community schools. The Schechter schools, which are the conservative schools. The Part Day schools, which are the reform schools. Everybody gets together for this great big jamboree of Jewish educators. And the first day of the conference, we get a schedule handed out, and the schedule says that on the afternoon of the first day of the conference, Mincha is going to be davened in room 305. So at the appointed time, I go to room 305. And a lovely gentleman says to me, if you wouldn't mind, could you please leave? We're going to be davening Mincha now. And I smiled as sweetly at him as I could muster at that point, which wasn't so sweetly, and I said, I know, that's why I'm here. That expectation that we're davening Mincha means we have to ask the women to clear the room at a conference of Jewish educators. That expectation, davening mincha means we ask the women to clear the room. Instead of davening mincha means we say the mechitza is going to be here and women are standing there. But that's one side of it. Here's the other side of it. The next morning, so there are multiple minyanim at the Jewish Day Schools Conference. There's like the egalitarian minyan and there's like the Orthodox minyan. I go to the Orthodox minyan. There's like 200 men there. I don't know, 300, however many hundred men there are there. Now, mind you, they're all milling around with their phones, networking, and meeting contacts, but there's 200 men there. The women's section is just about empty. By the end of davening, there are five women. Five. I counted five. I actually tweeted about this at the time. Go back and see this shock and horror in my Twitter feed from however many years ago this was. There are five women there. It must be said, four of whom were on the faculty of SAR High School. But that's neither here nor there. There are five women there. So that's the other side of it. Nobody had kids with them, right? Whatever our whatever our halakhic or other justifications for why we don't daven in the morning, we were all on a conference, we were in a lovely hotel in lovely Los Angeles, none of us had any obligations except it's so nice, my kids aren't bothering me, why don't I sleep it? But there are five women there. So that's also a statement. So then later that afternoon, I was in a session, one of these like panel discussions, not panel, I'm sorry, small group discussions, we're all sitting around the table, talking about the perennial problem of tefillah and getting high school kids to daven. And everybody's hand-wringing about how hard it is to get high school kids to daven, which it is. If you teach in any kind of from high school and you're trying to get high school kids to daven, it is just painful all the time. And everybody's doing the thing that educators do, which is cluck-clucking and tutting about kids these days and how terrible it is. And because, as I told you earlier, I have a big mouth, I really couldn't help myself. And I said, really, what are we all talking about? I was at Minyan this morning. There were 200 men all networking and there were no women there. So for realsies, what do we want from our kids? We don't take daven seriously either. So that was the conversation ender right there. But that's also that. We could talk about tefillah some other time. That's not really our topic for today. But I want to say to us very strongly, we can say, and it is true, it is an outrage that somebody thinks that what they need to do for mincha at a conference of Orthodox Jewish educators is ask the women to leave. But it is just as problematic that the Orthodox women educators don't really feel like getting out of bed for davening in the morning, so they're not going to. Again, understanding, I would like to say this very clearly, understanding that there are halachic dispensations for mothers who are busy taking care of children, and understanding at the stage of your life when you have a house full of little kids, it is all you can do to hang on to your sanity by your fingernails, and at that point, you know, there are no particular expectations of anyone. But I would like to say very clearly that we're at the stage and we're at the point when we could be going to davening, and we're just not going to davening because we choose not to. We are also sending a message to our daughters about what expectations we have of ourselves and of them for their meaningful participation in the Orthodox community. Yes?
I don't know if it would have occurred to me to go to Minyan, but it would have definitely occurred to me to daven.
Okay, I mean that's...
I don't know if it would have, like, definitely occurred, like, Minyan just doesn't...
Right, so I would like to push us away from that. I would like to push us very much away from that. I would like to...
I have a much better experience. They whip through davening so quickly, I barely get through it. I have to daven by myself. I have no function in it. Why don't I have a better daven by myself?
Okay.
I don't want to hijack your thing here. But I want to say a lot of those women probably daven by themselves.
So that is a whole other very big conversation, which, as you say, we're not going to get to in the 6 minutes we have remaining. But I will say, I am speaking precisely back to that. I would like us not to cede communal tefillah as the men's space, and I would like us very much to say that even in the absence of feeling that you have a specific role in communal tefillah, that communal tefillah is what the Jewish community does, and 50% of the Jewish community is women, and that women, again, with the both halachic and human exemption for the mothers of a house full of young children, but teenagers, young adult women, women in a stage of life where their kids are already either able to go to shul with them or able to entertain themselves or whatever it is, we should be engaging seriously in the common, right, tefillah b'tzibur is tefillah b'tzibur. And I think that when we don't, we send, again, that is the unwritten curriculum that we teach our daughters about what our expectations are of them and of their religious participation. Without negating, as I said, I said this in the beginning and I'll say it again now, that very thorny question that modern Orthodox Jews are busy trying to navigate about women and women's roles and women's place and figuring that all out. And I said very clearly, I'm not taking that on in this space right now because that's way bigger than this can encompass. And I don't pretend to have the answers even if I were to take it on. But even black boxing that question for a minute, I think we have to be able to say that our engagement in the collective communal tzibur enterprise of the Jewish people is important even as we hash out those thorny and complicated issues. Third thing. So three concrete things. Concrete thing number one is that the community always has to remember that the 50% of it that are women exist, whether that's making space for them because there's a mechitzah and there's a place for them to be in davening, whether that's not talking as though all Jews wear tzitzis, whatever the other examples would be. Concrete thing number two is that we as women have to take responsibility for the messages that we are sending about to our daughters about what we expect of them, by what we expect of ourselves. And finally, concrete strategy number three.
I saved the heavy lift for the end.
Don't make fun. Don't make fun. Women's religious aspirations are a fraught issue right now and a contentious issue right now in Judaism in general and in Orthodoxy in particular. When you hear about women seeking religious participation in a way that seems to you wrong, misguided, non-halachic, against the tradition, tell your children that they are wrong, misguided, non-halachic, against the tradition, but don't make fun. You think you are sending your daughters a message about the integrity of the Mesorah? What you are sending your daughters is a message that women seeking greater participation in the enterprise of Judaism is a joke. That is the message that you are sending, that is dismissive of and disparaging of women's desire to have a greater role as participants in the Jewish community. According to the Sefer HaKuzari, that famous work of Jewish philosophy, so there's this legend, right? There's this king of the Khazars. And the king of the Khazars wants to know he's trying to find the right path, the right way to worship in the world. So he's trying out every possible form of worship in the world, experimenting with every religion, with every type of vital worship, with every type of practice, as he tries to figure out what's the right way to be in the world. And he has this recurring dream as he tries every new type of worship, every alien form of, you know, religion, every Avodah Zarah, tries out every deity on the planet, and he has this recurring dream, and in the recurring dream he keeps hearing this voice saying to him, what does the voice keep saying to him? The voice keeps saying to him, Kavanotecha Ritzuyot, Aval Ein Ma'asecha Ritzuyim. Your intentions are good, are desirable, but your actions are not desirable. You have the right idea, you're going about it in the wrong way. So I am going to suggest that if God could say to the king of the Khazars over and over again, as he worshipped every idol on the planet, your intentions are good, but your actions are no good, that when we hear about people who are trying to find roles and paths and places for women in Judaism that we think are mistaken, misguided, wrong against the Mesorah, we should be able to say your intentions are good, your actions are no good, rather than making fun. I think the making fun tells your daughters something very different than what you think it tells your daughters. I have to tell you, I grew up, again, I think I mentioned this at the beginning of the talk, I grew up in the Black Hat, Yeshivish, whatever, Harid, whatever you want to call it, Brooklyn world. And there was like this ongoing, anytime somebody needed to make fun of a lady rabbi or like mockingly talk about a lady rabbi, it was always Rabbi Sally. Rabbi Sally, Rabbi Sally, Rabbi Sally. It was Rabbi Sally, it was a joke, it was Rabbi Sally. It was not until I was old enough to know that I realized that there's a reason why Rabbi Sally. Sally Prezant was the first woman ordained in America. She was ordained by the four movements in America. We've since learned that there are four movements in Germany actually ordained a woman before the Second World War, but she was the first woman ordained as a rabbi in the United States. And that Rabbi Sally kind of filtered down into Black Hat Brooklyn 30 years, not 30 years, that's not true. It was more like 15 years after she was ordained as a joke, right? As a joke of Rabbi Sally. You can say to your kids, we think the halacha, the Jewish tradition, that whatever it is, doesn't leave room for this without making a joke out of it, without disparaging someone seeking or women's seeking or individuals seeking for a place for themselves within the Jewish community. Because I think that when, again, whatever however good our intentions may be, whatever message we think we are conveying, some of our daughters are hearing that and some of our daughters are saying, why is that so laughable? Why is that such a joke? Is it such a joke to think that women, and I mean, there are examples that are closer to home that I will refrain from going into, but mocking women's higher Torah learning, mocking women's aspirations for more ritual participation, whatever it is, all of these things I think send a message that's not the message we intend to send, or at least sometimes send a message, or sometimes first sending a message, it's not the message that we intend to send, and we should avoid it. So, I'm not usually this good with my classes, the bell rings and I keep talking for another 30 seconds, but I'm going to very briefly recapitulate and then you'll move on to wherever you're next supposed to move on to. Talked about some of the reasons why we have a hard time talking about our daughter's roles of Dod Hashem. I referred to Rabbi Yitzchak Aram, the Akedat Yitzchak, who says very clearly, and again, You know, he said it 500 years ago, so we can be comfortable with it, I think. That women's primary roles is Avdo Hashem, Shomrot Torah Mitzvot, and any other role they have is secondary. And I said three very concrete strategies for helping our daughters see themselves that way. Number one is the demand on the organized Jewish community, which means largely it's a demand on the men. We don't have a communal dominant without a space for women. We don't talk about the Jewish community in a way that forgets that half of it are women. The second is a demand on women. It is a demand on us as mothers, as educators, in whatever role we have in the lives of young adult women, that we take on ourselves the serious obligation as members of the Jewish community that we would like them to take on themselves, that we model that for them. And finally, I said, don't make fun. Don't make fun. If women are doing something in a way that you think is wrong, is non-halachic, is misguided, say all of those things. Be critical. Explain to your children why they're wrong. The making fun, I think, conveys a different message than we might mean for it to convey, and it is the message that our daughters are sensitive to and hearing. Thank you so much. Thank you.